liberty.net.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very good morning to you this 12th day of October 2005 from Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We have the weather to check. Let's go ahead and take a quick look.
Okay, and Kimball's about 64 degrees, downtown 63, Anderson 66, Clemson 64. Today, mostly cloudy with patchy fog and drizzle this morning. Highs in the mid-70s, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And here's a quote by Charles de Gaulle. I have come to the conclusion that politics are too serious a matter to be left to the politicians.
Oh, yes, well, too serious a matter. But, you know, that's who loves to deal with it, that's for sure. They think that politics are the cat's meow, to say the least, don't they? And they enjoy it because it's their livelihood. It's how parasites get along. They look for a host that they can go ahead and take advantage of, and that's what politicians are all about. Well, what have we got going on today? Well, we've got some guy named Ron Barnett who emailed me yesterday and wants to, from the Greenville News, and says, I'm a reporter from the Greenville News. I understand you're doing to be speaking at the Christian Exodus Conference this weekend. I'd like to interview you for a story I'm doing. Can you please call me? Well, that's interesting. So we'll have to see if we can get in touch with that gentleman today and talk a little bit about, some stuff at any rate. We also have in the news headlines today a few things going on. Rain and hail are stopping rescue and aid efforts down in Pakistan and Afghanistan and so forth. Things aren't going very well in that area after that terrible, tragic quake. Condoleezza Rice was almost blown up this morning. She was in Iraq, in the northern part of Iraq, doing something. Actually, it was about 2 hours before she got there. Some bomb blew up and annihilated the place where she was going to be. So she escaped. She escaped being killed there. Let's see. We have more violence erupting in Afghanistan before the Rice visit there. Apparently, they're not so happy with the spread of democracy in that country. And then you have conservatives split on the faith. They're split on faith and Bush. Some of them, in fact, it sounds like many of them. Talk show hosts and otherwise, the neocons even, are criticizing Bush over the Harriet Myers sellout. They're concerned that they've been sold down the river, to say the least, and they're not happy about it. It looks like Bush is biting the hand that feeds him. Of course, he's not going to be reelected again, so he doesn't care anymore. He's sort of in his empire-building mode. He's sort of in his kingly repose. And he's planning on just doing what he wants, evidently. It'd be interesting to see if he's be able to get through to Congress the appointment. He may not have enough Republican votes to approve Harriet Meyer. I don't know. Harriet Myers is kind of a wild card at this point. You still have James Dobson and some of these other people who haven't lost the faith. But at any rate, well. Anyway, we don't see much hope for George W. Bush in this regard. Anyway, we have a good email this morning from Marshall Fritz. We need to get Marshall Fritz on the air at some point. I wonder if we could call Marshall. You know what? The problem is it's about 4:30 in the morning in Fresno, California. He says it doesn't mind if it rings when he's asleep. Or with the grandchildren or at church. I wonder if we just give him a call. Well, let's call him first. Let's not surprise him and throw him on the air. Marshall Fritz is the head of the Separation of School and State Alliance. I think we're not going to give him a call today. We'll let him rest this morning, but we need to get him on here just to talk about some of these issues. Could be Harriet Myers. Could be just to talk about public schools or government indoctrination centers or pagan seminaries. Could be interesting to do. You know, we were speaking of government schools yesterday. In dealing with some clients of mine, we were talking about some of the problems in investing in things which go for government schools. One problem we have is that anytime you open a brokerage account, you have to select a money market fund to go along with it, and the money market fund can either be in federal government bonds or treasury bills and so forth, or you can put it into the tax exempt fund, which invests in municipal bonds. Now, what are municipal bonds? Well, municipal bonds go to fund public school projects. They also go to fund dam, bridge, and roadway projects, which aren't so as bad a thing. Of course, they're just effectively future taxes for their taxpayers in the local area. But the quandary is this. How can a person who really is principled invest in these kinds of things? Have a money market account. I mean, you don't want to fund anything in the federal government bond sector or anything they're doing with the Department of Education or Planned Parenthood, so on and so forth. You don't want to be especially funding the public school. Well, of course, anytime you're investing in these kinds of money market funds, you're actually not giving your money directly to the government of these programs. The reason is it's a secondary market. It's sort of like going out and buying somebody's used car. As long as you've missed the initial auction that the government had to raise the money that it wanted, municipality, state government, or otherwise, all you're doing is buying it from somebody else. It's like going out and buying a car. If I go out and buy a Ford today from Joe Blow down the street, Ford doesn't get any of the money. It just goes to Joe Blow. And he may have given Ford the money originally when he bought the car, but I get it differently. I get it in a secondary market. The same thing with buying money market funds. Now, having said that, there is a possibility that the money that you're investing in at the money market fund could be used for primary auctions. They could actually go right out and buy the treasury bills or the municipal bonds directly from the government agencies, and therefore they would be investing directly in the government agency, which you may abhor. So this is a bit of a moral dilemma, isn't it? If to the extent they do that, it's problematic because you don't want to help fund the public school, for instance. You certainly don't want to help fund the Department of Education in Washington, or the anything dealing with abortion or welfare, or the Iraqi war or Afghani war. So what do you do? Well, it's sort of one of those things in investing. You have to hold your nose because your check gets sent in there, and banks aren't really any better. I mean, banks loan money for all sorts of causes that we wouldn't necessarily hold to. So what are you supposed to do? Well, you just basically have to hold your nose. You leave it in the money market account or the other, and hope that I go for the tax exempt fund because there's a chance you got a significant percentage which are not in federal government bonds and not going to public schools, you may not like to have the thought of funding a highway or a dam project or a bridge project, but still. It's a whole lot better than the alternative. So you hold your nose, you stick it in the tax exempt fund, and then you try to get it invested in gold or something else as soon as possible. Interesting thought, but that is a bit of a problem for people holding the Christian worldview, how to invest. Some people don't think about it. They don't care. They don't consider themselves immoral or wrong or anything else if they just have invested just anywhere. And this is, I think, a bit of a problem. We should have some thought about how we invest. Now, I know we can't be pure. There's always going to be somebody who makes a mistake, but you sure can pick companies that are not overtly run by pagans for doing pagan ideals, for achieving pagan goals. As a Christian, I would say that it'd be important. There are some plans like the Timothy plan, which endeavor to do that, and that's a mutual fund, for instance. That would help to do that. If anyone is interested in thinking about investing principally, just call me at some point at the Integrity Group and we can talk about it more. But it just came to my mind today, since we were talking about the public schools, and yesterday had a bit of a discussion about the whole issue of, you know, money market funds and so forth, and where you can invest and be principled. So a thought came up, and I thought I'd bring it up here on the air. You can always call me at the Integrity Group, of course, at 244-6464. That's 244-6464. Be glad to talk with you then. Okay, well, what else have we got going on in the news today? Angels won last night. We're glad for that. The home team wins. The true South team beat up the Yankees last night. That is the Yankees that are in the White Sox uniforms. They're all Yankees if they're up that far, right? And we have a couple of other things going on. Let's see. What's this? This state, Columbia, South Carolina. This is the newspaper there. Anderson Council blocks Supreme Court on prayer restrictions. Associated Press, the Anderson County Council adopted a policy that apparently permits members to mention Jesus Christ's name during opening prayers, despite a federal court ruling disallowing the mention of a specific deity. Oh my, Anderson, you folks are radical over there. You're actually invoking the name of Jesus in an opening prayer. Imagine that. Oh, well, what do we think about that? Well, We like it, don't we? Local government, I mean, even in my very minarchist or limited government perspective of the world, you're always going to have very local government like city councils or, the Anderson City Council. You're going to have some governance to deal with justice issues and protection from predator issues. So this is actually most likely a legitimate piece of true government, not part of the state. But anyway, let's read what he says here. Anderson Mayor Richard Shirley said he wasn't going to stop mentioning Jesus in council prayers. He's not going to do it. He's not going to listen. He doesn't care. He's a rebel. Civil disobedience. Whoever this guy is, Anderson Mayor Richard Shirley, what do we know about this guy? I don't know anything about him. All I can say is we need to commend this guy for what he did. Write him an email. Tell him something like, you know, we are glad that you seek God's favor in trying to govern these people locally, and we're happy that you invoke the name of Jesus, who is the only true and living God. We don't have any qualms about that, and we're glad you did it. I think we need to tell him that, don't you? I think he needs to be told that he's done a good job. Now, I don't know if he does a good job on everything else, but on this particular thing, he certainly has. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting in Greenville is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library in Malden Road between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome, and that will not be occurring this month, by the way. It'll only be occurring every other month besides this one, because they're helping out the Spartanburg Party's promotion this week. The Spartanburg business meeting is the third Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Westside branch of the Spartanburg County Library. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street in downtown Greenville, or in Spartanburg at the Liberty of Plenty meeting on the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And it's a good time to take a break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor, It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg, and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And the Times Examiner is the independent conservative voice of the Palmetto State. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists, read the Times Examiner. Features very true conservative and pro-life libertarian columnists. It supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, or you can get a full year subscription for only $25 delivered to your door, $27 out of state. You can simply email or call, better to call, 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. And be sure to check out the page 7 and 10. Those are my two favorite pages. Page 7 has Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, and Ben Graydon on them. Of course, page 10 has yours truly on it. That's why it's a favorite. I don't read my own column, but except when I'm proofreading it. At any rate, those two pages are definitely worth turning to every week. And for 50 cents a week, it's a very good investment in educating yourself about liberty. Under the audio tab of the tyrannyresponse.com website, we have some new innovations today that we need to let you know about. Or not just innovations, additions. The Liberty Minutes programs section of the audio tab with Dr. John Coben on TRN. The nature of the state and the Christian's relationship to its public policy section now has 14 entries. I'm going to read some of these titles to you. These are all audio files. Gives the time that each one plays. Can be downloaded onto your PC and then burned onto an MP3 if you want. And you can listen to it as you wish. This is an entire public policy course for you. There's only a couple more items that I have to add here before they'll actually compose part of a new book we'll be putting out next year called The Christian Theology of Public Policy, Highlighting the American Experience. But you can listen to them for free simply by going to the tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net website and listen to some of these titles, and you'll see why they're so important to get your hands on to start thinking correctly about the world in terms of public policy and the state. The first title is The Difference Between Government and the State, highlighting A.J. Nock. The next one is The Nature of the State, followed by The Theology of Public Policy in Historical Context, followed by The Divine Ordination of State Criminals and Legalized Crime. then Rights, Just War, and Public Policy Theology, then The Theology of Public Policies of Enslavement, followed by Christian Views on Rebellion, Highlighting the American War for Independence, and Christians and Self-Defense Against Criminals, Including the State, followed by The Second Amendment and Public Policy Theology, then The Christian Fight for Peace, that's a brand new one, followed by The Theology of Nations and Nationalism. That's a controversial one. This has been controversial among some folks who don't know much about the word nation and its usage, or who don't like the idea of allowing Christians who are persecuted to immigrate here legally or illegally. Most people don't have a problem with that who are Christians, but some do. Then, Why the Lottery? A Voluntary and Stupid Man Tax is the Best Way to Finance Government, rather than using extortive income taxes and so forth. And then, Whether or Not the State Lottery is Immoral from a Christian Perspective. And finally, Christian Civic Duty in America. That's a brand new one as well, Christian Civic Duty in America. Take advantage of these things, folks. Go ahead and start listening to them. Use them in your Sunday school class. There's some text already to go along with them as well. You can get that off of policyofliberty.net. But you can go here and simply download these files and play them in a class, one or even, if they're short, two of them a day in Sunday school, and see what kind of discussion you generate. You're bound to generate a lot of discussion after hearing these Liberty Minutes programs play, and we hope that you'll do so. They're there to help you think better, think deeper, to teach you something about the integration of the Bible with our very libertarian views, or not just libertarian, constitutionalist views. There's some bias on certain areas where Christians differ, who are true right-wing Christians, but nevertheless, we have so much in here that anyone could listen to. You know, I remember some people are too pure to listen to anything they won't agree with first, which is rather silly. I remember sitting at the Institute on the Constitution at Pastor Romo's church recently, and it was in the summer, and there was a few lectures that I missed, but I was glad to attend as much as I could. I attended enough to get my certificate and pass the course, as many others did as well, who took advantage of that this summer. But you know, there were times when Dr. Eisma was speaking that I disagreed with him. Anytime he lauded Abraham Lincoln, for instance, was just revolting to me. He showed he was an ignorant Yankee on that issue. Didn't even mean he was ignorant on other things, but he certainly was on that. There were times he would make other comments about the state and its role in life. And I just, you know, his divine, it seemed to me a divine right sort of perspective was mistaken, and I disagreed. But you know, so what? I also agreed with, you know, 90% or better of what he did say. And so what does it matter that you might throw something out in there that would be disagreeable or that you would disagree with? It makes for good discussion inside a Sunday school class, to say the least. So there's some opportunity there to always learn from things, even if we don't agree 100% with them, or there's some mistakes we see, or some holes we see in things. So this is what this course should be used for, to get people thinking, stirring them up about the truths of God's Word as it relates to public policy and the theology of public policy, the nature of the state especially. And that's what it's designed to do. So hope you can make use of this great feature for you, this free feature on tyrannyresponse.net and tyrannyresponse.com. Start downloading these audio files and use them in your Sunday school classes, or just burn them on a CD and give them to some friends and let them feast on some ear candy, something of the truth about the nature of the state, about public policy, theology, the Second Amendment, whatever it may be. And it'll be of great interest to them. I hope you'll take advantage of that today. Again, you can find it at tyrannyresponse.com. There's also a nice setup of these things, the same course, on the libertarianchristians.org website. They've even called it their online public policy course. And they want to make sure everybody's aware of these things and thinking about public policy theology. So they have a little button on the homepage that says online public policy course. You can go there and see the same list, except on their list they also have the links as well to the text files, in case people want to print the text files before each meeting and then read along with the audio portion before discussion. Makes some sense to do that. Anyway, that's it's a good long advertisement for this, but I think it's so important for those of us who hold dearly the Christian worldview, and as some those titles should be tantalizing to you to think about these things. If you're a deep thinking Christian, those titles should be meaningful and should pique your interest, to say the least. Well, here's a couple other things. This is a quotation the research staff sent up. This is from Greg Bonson. He says, evangelical postmillennialism maintains that the victorious advance of Christ's kingdom in the world will take place in terms of the present peaceful and spiritual power of the gospel rather than through a radically different principle of operation, namely Christ's physical presence on the earth using violence to subdue opposition. There's no intimation in the New Testament that the work of converting the world is to be effected by any other means than those now in use. Well, that's an interesting interesting perspective. Of course, I'm not post-millennial, but we have many at the Tyranny Response Network who are. And for some of you, you're thinking, what's post-millennial? That a lot of people don't know. The post-millennial idea, if I can try to be fair to it, is an evangelical idea. That is, people hold it like the one he was going to quote here in this passage, A.A. Hodge from Princeton Seminary of old, 100-some years ago. They believe that there will be a long period of time, maybe exactly 1,000 years, maybe more than that or less, slightly less, but a long period of time in which before he returns, there will be a reign of righteousness in the world, or what we call a golden age, where some number like 85% of all people that are born are converted, and that men are basically dominant in society who are saved men, regenerate men, and the world actually gets better. They base this on several passages in not only the Gospels, or that, like the seed growing into a tree that fills the whole earth, where the birds of the air can rest in it, but also a number of passages in Isaiah and I think Jeremiah, Ezekiel, elsewhere in the Old Testament, which seem to indicate there would be a vast expansion of God's truth in the world. Well, what Bonson is trying to say here is that those who hold this position do not believe that the state or anything else apparently should be in charge of the work of converting the world, and that's good, because preaching the gospel is the only means by which we know of. This is an interesting quandary for the theonomic school, however, and people like Bonson. I'm not sure offhand how he handles the fact that the state is called upon to uphold the law of God, which includes the first and the second commandments. And as I understand it, they would not go into every home and try to figure out what you believe and see if you're blaspheming God by being a Mormon at home or a Muslim or a Jew or something like that, and then execute you. But if you had egregious public displays of false religion, then they would put you to death at the hand of the state. So I'm not sure that they would consider that to be... I'm not sure how they would deal with unbelief. I don't think they would put to death unbelievers generally. I think you have to be those who are perverting the nation in order to be killed, as I recall. Someone may want to call in and correct me on that, just to set the record straight on exactly how how conversions would take place, and especially in terms of the entire idea of the post-millennial golden age. You know, who's ushering that in? In what sense does the state have a role, if any? So we'd be glad to hear from if you have a question or comment that you can raise about postmillennialism. At any rate, you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've come to the top of the hour, and we look forward to having you back shortly, but we're going to go and have our break now with the Bill of Rights, so stay tuned.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904. 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9:00 a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to Homeschooler Friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg, and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us today, this 12th day of October 2006, talking about some pretty exciting stuff today and going over some things which are important to Christians. But before we continue doing so, let's have a look at the weather in case you're still making your way out to work.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, 64 degrees, downtown 63 degrees, Anderson 66, Clemson 64. Today, mostly cloudy, patchy fog and drizzle this morning. Highs in the mid-70s, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Here's a funny little quote on gun control. Gun control is not about guns. It's about control.
Yes, indeed. Well, world views. We got that bumper sticker. It reminds me of that bumper sticker. You know, it says, Waco was practice. I really want to give it to one of our TRN staffers here, or staff members. Waco was practice. Just letting them know about what government's all about and what their plans are here, nefarious plans. And make people think a little bit differently. They don't usually like to do that. People like to think inside the box. That's the way in the nature of human beings. There's a book out by Stephen Yates, Dr. Stephen Yates, a friend of the Tyranny Response Network and the Christian Worldview Show, called Worldviews, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism. And this book can be obtained for $20.99. And if you are a member of the Constitution Party or the Libertarian Party and tell him so, the price will be reduced by $2 to $18.99, plus $2.50 shipping and handling. If you want a copy of the book, we hope you'll get one. Send your order to the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216 in Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's the Worldviews Project, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. All checks should be made out to the Worldviews Project. So hope you can get a copy of that book. Well, we've been talking about some interesting issues that are more theological in nature, to say the least, postmillennialism for one. And here's a couple other quotes from A.A. Hodge. Quote of the week. This is from the website called Applied Presuppositionalism. If professing Christians are unfaithful to the authority of their Lord in their capacity as citizens of the state, they cannot... Let's be gracious here. It's not clear that Hodge is making a fine distinction that I do or Nock does between limited government and the state. When he says this, he may mean government as we think of it or state. And he was also writing well over 100 years ago when things were quite different in America. This is pre-FDR, post-Lincoln, but pre-Wilson, I believe, and pre-FDR, and pre-LBJ, obviously. If professing Christians are unfaithful to the authority of their Lord in their capacity as citizens of the state, they cannot expect to be blessed by the indwelling of the Holy Ghost in their capacity as members of the church. The kingdom of Christ is and cannot be divided in life or death. The church languishes, the state cannot be in health. And if the state rebels against its Lord and King, the church cannot enjoy his favor. If the Holy Ghost is withdrawn from the church and he is not present in the state, and if he, the Lord, is the giver of life, be absent, then all order is impossible and the elements of society lapse backwards toward primeval night and chaos. And that's from A.A. Hodge in his book Evangelical Theology. Now, A.A. Hodge would have been a Presbyterian and likely in the theonomic camp, and certainly from this quote, it sure seems to be that way, because he sees this strong link between the state or government and the church, as well as Christian work. And he believes that the state has some role in the world of promoting righteousness. Now, as far as I can tell, that's what Hodge is saying. Now, we appreciate the theonomic perspective, and they'll look at Romans 13 as that ideal form of the state. It's not realized; it wasn't realized in the first century, or even now, but it could be during this post-millennial age we spoke about right before the break. So, at any rate, this is Hodge's idea that you need to be involved with the state. I think he means government specifically, the idea of the limited government he knew, in order to promote God's favor in the world. And in my mind, he's mistaken, obviously, because the state, the nature of the state, as far as I'm concerned, is satanic. There is, and that's right, and I go to great lengths to demonstrate this in a recent paper called The Nature of the State. It's also an audio file. We mentioned the audio files on tyrannyresponse.com. Go listen to the one that's called The Nature of the State, or get the paper version. Which is being printed actually this week again. This part two is in the Times Examiner. If you have last week's Times Examiner, it's there as well. But otherwise, go to policyofliberty.net and scroll down under the article section and find out why I believe the state is satanic in nature. Aligned with the kingdom of Satan and along with false religion is the primary means of spreading evil in the world and opposition to God's ways, his people, and so forth. Well, Hodge, I think, and as other theonomists, would not say that the modern state is a godly institution, but they'll say that it can be transformed. My position is, and the liberty of conscience position, is that it's impossible to transform the state. It's like trying to transform an abortion clinic or a public school or transform a pornography firm. It just can't be done. The National Organization of Women has no place in the kingdom of God. There is no righteous side or manner in which you can promulgate certain institutions in the world, and the state is one of those things. It can't be made good when it's by evil by nature. So there's an interesting comment, and I appreciate the Tyranny Response Network staff bringing up the Hodge quote of the week about the state and the citizens' role in supporting the state. And anyway, food for thought. Think about it. Where do you stand on that issue? Hopefully after you listen to The Nature of the State, you'll be able to formulate your own opinion and see if I'm right, and or see if Hodge, you prefer the Hodgean theonomic version. What's more important to me at this point is that Christians would at least think. I appreciate theonomists, even though I don't agree with theonomy. I appreciate them because they're so dedicated to finding out the truth and applying principles from God's Word to engage their culture. Most Christians are afraid to do that. Well, even if you don't agree with theonomy, we need to at least give them credit for attempting to do that and doing it well, I think consistently, from their presuppositions. If you start with the idea that the state is transformable and is potentially a good ally of the Lord and of His church, then you end up with a very different result than if you think the state is aligned with the kingdom of Satan, therefore completely non-transformable, just like false religion and Satan himself are not transformable. Then you come up with an entirely different result. Presuppositions are so important. And in my mind, biblically, my position is far easier to support presuppositionally than theirs, but we'll move on from there for the time being. Well, we have here a couple more things about the state. Here's a quotation from Tom Rose in 2005 in Biblical Economics. His website is biblicaleconomics.com. It's not just the function of our governments to keep the citizen from falling into error. It's the function of the citizen to keep the government from falling into error. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Some people believe it's the function of government to keep a citizen from falling into error. But in reality, it's the other. The citizen's responsibility is to keep government from falling into error. Because really, we don't want government to be that entity that goes around and prevents people from sinning or doing mischief or causing a problem. We want government to be there to react when problems occur. We just couldn't have a government large enough to ensure that there'd be no drunkenness, that there would be no murder and theft and so forth. It's just too large a population to try to do that. You'd need half the people to have to be cops. Can't do that. It's too expensive and it's impractical, to say the least, and not to mention it violates personal liberties. But I think Tom Rose is right here. It's not the function of government to keep the citizen from falling into error. It is the function of the citizen to keep the government from falling into error. I think that's a biblical premise, and he's done a good job in pointing that out. Well, we have something called the American Enterprise Publications, and they have a whole website dedicated to biblical economics called the American Enterprise Publications. I liked what I read here. I'll read it to you. Welcome to the Enterprise, American Enterprise Publications, the home of biblically based free market books on economics and constitutionally based limited civil government. We have been publishing books based on biblically based free market economics for over 20 years. The American people of today can be said to be guilty of one sin. It's the sin, national sin of idolatry. Well, I don't agree there's such a thing as a national sin, as I again talk about in my recent paper, Nations and Nationalism. But at any rate, be that as it may, Americans have been seduced into looking to the civil government for solutions to all their problems. In short, we have made civil government into a secular god. Very true. And the state in particular. Thus God has cursed us with an ever-growing centralized autocratic political power in Washington, D.C., as well as in our 50 state capitals. The rise of totalitarian civil government in America during the last 100 years is reminiscent of the godless rulers whom God imposed as judgment on the nation of Old Testament Israel more than 2,500 years ago. Our publications explain the principles of godly freedom and self-responsibility by applying biblical principles to economic exchange, to civil government, and to America's social institutions. Our publications show the outworking of free market-based economics in society. The question arises, how can sinful man live in peace and harmony with other sinful individuals? Do we need a powerful civil government to keep sinful individuals from harming each other? The answer is no. The answer lies in the nature of voluntary free market exchange, which is the very bargaining process through which each individual seeks to maximize his or her own welfare. As long as civil government is restricted to biblically mandated role of punishing wrongdoers, well, of course, this is not true. Anyway, we'll give it that. He holds the theonomic idea, or the divine right idea, that civil government is restricted to its biblically mandated role of punishing wrongdoers, rather than transferring wealth from one set of pockets to another through legalized theft. We're right about that. The system of voluntary free market exchange will flourish to the benefit of all concerned. In some degree, biblically based principles naturally produce other true free market exchange, which benefits all who take part in the voluntary process. Our conviction that all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge, even those of the sciences, can be sought by most successfully and profitably only if the seeker consistently keeps his eye focused on the person of Jesus Christ. Thus, we don't hesitate to take a biblical approach in our study of economic science and practice. And I do appreciate that very much. So get to know these folks here at the Biblical Economics site. They have, I don't actually have the full website. I think it's just biblicaleconomics.com, and under American Enterprise Publications. Anyway, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're overdue for a break, so we'll go do that now, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're trying to provide roughage for your brain here at the Christian Worldview Show today. Just a reminder that we need volunteers at the Tyranny Response Network. If you can help out, send an email by going to the tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net website and clicking on the Contacts tab. Scroll down and send an email to anybody on the list there. We need help with the radio signal. We need help with people who know something about computer networking and things related to computers, as well as a substitute producer for the Christian Worldview Show. So if you're able to help out, even for a couple hours a month, we would greatly appreciate your service in the cause here for promoting the truth. Also want to let people know, speaking of promoting the truth, that October 15th, that's coming up pretty soon here, that's this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., there will be the annual conference of the Christian Exodus Movement at the Hilton Hotel in Greenville off of Pelham and Haywood Roads there in Greenville. Speakers will be covering a wide range of topics important to Christian Exodus. There will be panel discussions, workshops, demonstrations of CE's feasibility and likelihood of success. There'll be a number of speakers at the event, including yours truly, as well as Dr. Hugh Court, psychiatrist who spent years researching terrorism sources, Michael Chapman, Larry Kilgore, Arthur Bringelson, and Corey R. Burnell. It'll be a great event. The price of admission is $40, includes lunch, so you'll be able to have a full hot plated lunch as well as listen to the great speaking events. The event will go all day, and then pretty much morph right into the Tom Tancredo event. So you can, if you want to register, call 877-727-3578. That's 877-727-3578, and they'll look forward to hearing from you. They only have maybe 20 or 30 seats to put in until they break even for the conference. So they'd like to get some turnout from local folks here. If you can, join the event for $40. Try 877-727-3578. All right, we have a caller on the line. We want to jump right to the phone lines now. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking with?
Good morning, Doctor. It's Paul from Georgia.
Hello, Paul. Good to hear from you again.
How you doing?
All right, thanks.
I wasn't going to call so soon, but I was listening to your opinion about some non-corrupting funds somebody would want to own or not contribute to the general problems of the country.
Right.
And then, we were just talking here that, what happens when they do crash the dollar or the economy crashes? What would be good to own or not to own? Or, I mean, how do you prepare for something like that? Or how do you know what they're going to do next? It's like paper money always crashes sooner or later.
It's a great question, and that's why I always recommend folks own some gold, silver, brass, and lead. Of course, the brass and lead are guns and ammo. guns and ammo always hold their value as long as you keep them clean and in good, safe place. It's a good thing to own as well. But gold and silver, and if you're familiar with platinum and palladium, those as well, are great things to own. Not as great investments, although they have been in the last year. For the previous 30 years, they haven't been that great of investments, or 20 years at any rate. What you'd want to do is just store some up as an insurance policy. Anything you own that is a Federal Reserve note or a traveler's check or a money market account and invested in these government bonds is subject to the risks of inflation. And if you have hyperinflation and they want to pay off this atrocious $8 trillion debt by hyperinflation, you're going to be the big loser. But if you've got some gold in your portfolio, you'll be the big winner. Now, real property is another thing that will help you. And that's, when I say real property, I'm obviously speaking of land and buildings, things attached to the land. The problem with those kinds of assets is we really don't truly own them in America. We have a privilege of use and possession as long as we pay off the feudal lord.
For the tax.
Well,
that's what I was getting. If things get so bad and, things could go from bad to worse, of course, and you may not even be able to pay your property tax on it, or if you have a loan on the property and you're counting on a business, some type of commercial property in the business paying for it, when things get when things get pretty nasty, you may wind up losing that.
Yeah, that's you got that.
I mean, that's how I look at it.
Right.
I mean, I see a lot of developers around and they think it can only go up.
Well, as far as inflation goes, they're probably right. But the problem is, if we have a real calamity, they're going to be in the deep, deep, deep trouble. The problem we have, I think, Paul, with some of these things is it puts biblical principles of that we hold dear on their head, because the borrower is servant to the lender, says the Proverbs, and yet it's better for a person in the view of hyperinflation to have as much debt as he possibly can. He shouldn't pay off anything,
mm-hmm.
which is nutty, because it's hard for us emotionally to deal with debt. We hate it, but let's face it, if you have a 95% mortgage on your house or your farm or your business or whatever real property you have, and and you got a little bit of gold on the side, and all of a sudden there's a huge inflation, well, you can pay it off, that whole debt, with a single gold coin. So it's better for you to be protected that way. Also, it's harder for the scoundrels in the state who might want to ransack your property to take it away from you if it's so encumbered with debt.
From the bank, they hate to upset the banksters.
That's right. That's right. So
I mean, they don't care about us, but the banksters, they're the ones who run the place.
So it puts everything on its head. You know, we hate debt intrinsically, but here we are, you know, with that's the kind of way a wise man would do, get a bunch of debt.
That's hard. That is hard to stomach, though. Somebody who just hates debts and that don't like enriching the banksters, like we talked about. So you're the opinion that a gold coin could be $10,000 or $20,000, Federal Reserve notes. I mean, or more.
Oh, far more than that. I remember the old story in Germany after World War One, where the Reichsmark was devalued so much, inflation was million or billion percent. I forgot. It was extraordinary. That there's the story that the women had to go down twice a day when the husbands would get paid at the work yards, and they'd fill the wheelbarrows full of money and rush into town to spend it as fast as they could. And they did so because the money would lose value by the time they got there. And one story says a woman who had a baby in the wheelbarrow rushing into town had to stop and do something with the baby, rushed inside, left the wheelbarrow and the money outside. When she came out, somebody had dumped the money out of the wheelbarrow on the sidewalk and ran off with the wheelbarrow because it was worth more. And that could easily happen in any country that's subject to a fiat system and like ours. And if it happens here, all those those mortgages of $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $500,000, $1 million will seem like peanuts. And one gold coin easily, maybe a tenth of a gold coin, will buy enough Federal Reserve notes for you to walk into the banksters and give them back their Federal Reserve notes.
Well, that is encouraging if you can bury some gold coins in your backyard or side yard or front yard, whatever yard you've got. And it's something I also argue with from time to time. People just don't believe it could crash. And even if they'll concede that the Great Depression was somewhat manipulated, I said, well, they've got their hands in everything. They're controlling everything. They put us in the box. Why are they going, to all this trouble if they're not going to put the squeeze and crash it?
Right.
The way I look at it, I hope they don't. Don't get me wrong. I really hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, there's
but
not.
Why go through all the trouble?
Right. Well,
they're not going to do it.
These people are making a lot of money on the whole American system. If they crash it, there's going to have to be a real opportune time for them to do so, and I'm not sure what the motive would be at the moment. Doesn't mean there isn't a motive that I haven't seen yet, but they like to do real well at keeping our economy going, limping along while they and hamstrung, while they let other places crash before us. So I'm not sure.
We do a good job keeping weapons up and keeping our keeping everybody else. I mean, we are, like the Roman Empire in that regard, we're keeping everybody in line so they can steal the resources and enslave other people.
You betcha.
Okay.
Well, that's a good point, Paul. I appreciate
the
call.
Well, very good. Thank you for your information. It's just a wealth of information. Listen to the show, and we appreciate over here.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you saying so, Paul.
You have a good week.
You too. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, here's something the research staff sent up. Says perhaps this can generate an economics and stock market lesson. That's their note to me. Apple income soars, revenues fall short. Apple Computer Incorporated said Tuesday its fourth quarter income more than quadrupled on torrid sales of iPod players and strong computer shipments for the school market. But company shares plunged more than 10% as revenue fell short of expectations. So the Tyranny Response Network staff is confused. How can this happen? Their income quadruples, but the revenue falls short of expectations. Well, and the stock price falls. Well, the reason for that is simply this. As soon as a new development comes out in a company, such as the iPod, now I know a lot of people use these things. I don't see much use for it, but they restore like their music on it, like billions of songs or whatever. I don't even know how long it takes to set one of these things up. It must take forever. But at any rate, they come up with a new product, and then people in the market predict how many sales they're going to have from this. And based on the prediction of the sales, the stock price immediately goes up. If they think it's going to be a super seller, the stock price might go up 5 times or 10 times its current value based on the new product that's coming out. However, when the actual numbers come in, they roll in, and they don't meet projections of what they expected, what would be in the price of the stock, for instance, will fall. Well, they expect the revenues are where they should be as to what they projected this iPod or something else would do, the stock price will fall. So even if they expect, for instance, revenues to go up 10 times, and they only go up four times, then the stock price, even though it was, you know, 5 or 10 times higher, is going to be readjusted back downward to reflect reality. Expectations are what makes the stock market. It's always an expectations market, and when expectations aren't met, things fall, and that's just the simple economics of it all. But I appreciate this Tyranny Response Network staff posing the question, because it is an important one, and perhaps a lot of Christians don't understand how that works. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's the bottom of the hour. Time for a break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904. 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, sensible radio that knows that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. It's time for your next shock treatment.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview at Dr. John Coben. And we've been thinking about when to call Marshall Fritz still. I think we're going to call him on Friday and talk about public schools. We always like talking about public schools here. You know, we're not afraid to bash the pagan seminary, and we'll have to bring him up here shortly as we can. We need to have a quick look at the weather, however, because some people are probably still making their way out to work. So go ahead and give us the weather.
Right now, Greenville's apartment is 64 degrees, downtown 63, Anderson 66, Clemson 64. Today, mostly cloudy, patchy fog, and drizzle this morning. Highs in the mid-70s, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And here's a quote, I don't think it has a name. Yes, it does. Ronald Reagan again. Politics is supposed to be the second oldest profession. I have come to realize that it bears a very close resemblance to the first.
Ah, some of these guys, like Ronald Reagan and Winston Churchill, are great speech writers. Or maybe they were really that bright. I have to admit, of the three guys up there in Europe after World War II, Stalin, FDR, and Winston Churchill, even though I don't like any of them in general, certainly Winston Churchill stands out as being the better of the three. I mean, how can you get worse than Stalin? And FDR is close on his coattails. I mean, no matter how bad Churchill is, he wasn't as bad as those guys. I mean, you know, we got to admit that this we're talking about serious problems for some of these other folks. It's a very, very horrible thing that went on after that war. At any rate, a couple things to talk about here. Safe rooms. Believe it or not, one of the fastest growth industries in Britain in recent years is the construction of so-called safe rooms, private residences to which crowded British citizens can flee to lock themselves while legally armed thugs have complete freedom to plunder and pillage private residences without fear of being stopped. Tom Rose. Can you imagine that? You know, these guys, they can't stop these thugs from entering their home and plundering them. They can't get a weapon and shoot them, so they can go into a safe room and lock the doors. There's no way anybody can get in and get them and hurt them. Well, you know what's going to happen in these safe rooms? They're going to put all their valuables in there. That's obvious, right? Anything that's going to be plunderable is going to go into these safe rooms. So they're going to go hide out in there while they go and mess up the furniture or look for something else. Stupidity. British stupidity, as much as European stupidity is, anti-gun imbecile, or imbecility, I should say. Yeah, imbeciles, too. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Just get the guys, give them their shotguns, their pistols, or whatever else. Somebody breaks into your house and tries to hurt you or take away your property, then shoot him. I mean, what's the big deal? The America that once was, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. Jeremiah 50, verse 6. Some 230 years have passed since that spring day in 1775 when the shot that was heard around the world rang out what is now Lexington, Massachusetts. British forces from Boston had made an armed raid to commandeer the powder and musket ball stored in Lexington. 8 Minutemen were killed by the British. The British turned back at Concord, where arms and ammunition were also stored. Colonial patriots swarmed them from all directions. British troops fled back to Boston with casualties of 273 versus 95 casualties of the American patriots. So in reality, the Revolutionary War began not over taxation, as modern history books erroneously report, but over the burning issue of the individual right of Americans to own and bear arms. Since March 2003, American troops have been imposing military rule in Afghanistan and Iraq. We call the freedom fighters in those countries terrorists and insurgents. It would be good for Americans today to remember that people are helpless to resist tyranny if citizens don't have ready access to guns and the ammunition necessary to make their firearms effective. Today, law-abiding citizens or Americans are faced with even more brutal and lawless SWAT team raids by the BATF, the FBI, federal marshals, and other armed federal agents, even while their government in Washington, D.C. is conspiring domestically and internationally to disarm our once free and well-armed citizenry. And that is so true. He says, you might ask, but aren't we in real danger of terrorist attacks by Islamic fanatics who hate America because of the liberty we enjoy? You might also ask, why are such federal agencies so tyrannical? The first answer is no. The American people have never been in danger of Islamic terrorists, if there is such a thing. And he claims here that the 3,000 people on September 11, 2001, were due to an inside job. The White House puppet George W. Bush is also involved with neocon leadership in Washington, D.C. in promoting the New World Order. Did it all. In short, our great and noble nation, once the home of the free and the brave, has unknowingly succumbed to the false siren of national socialism, fascism, which Franklin Delano Roosevelt and his communist-infested administration left us as his notorious legacy. And you know what? I have to, you know, and I'm not entirely convinced about the 9/11 events, but I'm pretty convinced. I can't see how this was anything other than, I don't know who did it, but it doesn't look like what the government said it was. It's like another JFK thing, and Alex Jones has done such a great job of demonstrating this, and others as well. He continues on here, my warning and prayer request, of course, was not well received because a sedated populace never realizes that freedom has been lost until it's too late. Jonathan Wolfgang von Goethe spoke truly when he warned, none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. Our tax-supported schools, America's most ubiquitous and tragic experiment in socialism, eagerly condition each new generation to willingly embrace the false idea that America is a democracy. Miss Liberty is sick and ailing, almost dead, in our country today, but all is not lost, not by a long shot. That wonderful patriot of the Revolutionary, Samuel Adams, left us with these encouraging words: "It does not require a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority to set brush fires in people's minds." That's what we do. We set brush fires in people's minds here at the Tyranny Response Network. How true! At my reading of American history tells me that the only 3% of the American colonists led the fight against tyrannical government during the Revolutionary period. Our political rulers today are much more tyrannical than King George III and Parliament were in the late 1700s. Perhaps today more than 3% of the people will rally against a tyrannical regime in Washington. Good stuff. And here's another, skipping down a little further. It's not the function of our government to keep the citizen from falling into error. It's the function of the citizen to keep the government from falling into error. We read that from Tom Rose earlier. Okay, tax-supported education systems, one of America's most vicious tyrannies, he said, and we believe that too. And we like what Tom Rose has to say. The theonomist Tom Rose doing a great job today in pointing out some truths for us in encouraging words. This was from, once again, the America that once was and could be again. That's July 20th, 2005, by Tom Rose. Good stuff, to say the least. Well, I want to try to read, squeeze in if I can, something from Vox Day. We love reading Vox Day on here. A young man with a funny haircut, self-professed libertarian Christian. This is so long. We're going to have to wait till after the break, aren't we? Well, let's try it. How many minutes we got? 4 minutes before the break? We should be able to do this. Vox Day is a novelist and Christian libertarian, a member of the SFWA Mensa and Southern Baptist Church. Been down with Madden since 1992. Here's what he has to say. Women, someday is today. Is motherhood instinctive or learned behavior? Both religion and science tell us that it is instinctive, much to the distaste of the feminist ideologists who have never been overburdened by the solid grasp of either. But one need only watch the way in which a young girl mothers her stuffed animals to see the maternal instinct at work. This is not to say that behavior that contradicts these instincts cannot be learned, only that the individual always possess a certain level of instinct, and for the purpose of this discussion, it does not matter if those instincts are instilled by evolution or a creator God. That must be overcome by years of propaganda and social pressure. Although the equalitarian society is now, by most statistical measures, structured so as to favor its female members, it nevertheless poses a cruel choice to those women cursed by its costly blessings. Consider the words of Melissa Cole Essig, who writes in Newsweek of her difficulty in getting pregnant at 39. As certain as I am now that the right time for me to have my children, it's hard for me not to blame myself for how difficult it's turning out to be. Nature, it seems, would disagree, and a woman foolish enough to wait more than 2 decades before attempting to have children has no one to blame but herself. As for the likelihood that the technological future will eventually solve such problems, it is worth noting that no society that possesses artificial wombs, robots, sex dolls, multiplayer video games, and 24-hour sports networks is one in which men are likely to show a tremendous amount of interest in relationships with the opposite sex. Fortunately, as we have not yet reached nirvana, there are a number of steps that women whose priority remains marriage and children can take in order to happily achieve these goals. 1. Don't engage in casual dating relationships after 18. They're fun and they also prevent you from pursuing more fruitful relationships. 2. Make those potential long-term relationships your top priority. If you put college as your job first, there's a reasonable chance that a job is all you'll have at 40 and 60. Consider the president's new Supreme Court nominee. The unmarried and childless creepy McCrypto is on the verge of becoming one of the two most powerful professional women in the country. Does she really represent the ideal American woman? 3. Settle earlier rather than later. I can't tell you how many women I know who blew off good men in their late teens and early 20s who now regret doing so. Those who are not still single at 35 are now married to men generally considered to be of lower quality than the men they spurned before. Remember, your choices narrow as you get older, while men's choices broaden. Let everyone know that marriage and children is your ultimate goal. Too many women, fearing the wrath of sisterhood, secretly wish for them while publicly and piously professing feminist-approved chant to the contrary. Bait and switch doesn't work. Unlike their female counterparts, men who say they don't want to get married or have kids usually mean it. play that game, and he'll be perfectly justified in dumping your dishonest posterior despite your time-honored investment in him. Don't hesitate, he says, to end relationships that aren't leading towards marriage or with men who are less than completely positive about near-term prospect of children. If he hasn't proposed in 18 months and has no intention of doing so, cut your losses. Most men know how to string women along and know they'll have no problem replacing you when you finally call their bluff. Shed your man-hating friends, seventhly, as well as those who buy seriously into the equalitarian dogma. Eighth, be brutal when assessing the men who are interested in you. Too many women make the mistake of looking only at a man's desirable traits and ignoring his weaknesses on. Ninth, if you want the odds of easily bearing healthy children to be in your favor, set a goal of marrying by 25. You can always go back to school. You can't go back in time. Remember that love is a choice, an action, and a commitment. It's not a feeling. Interesting stuff from Vox Day. This man giving women advice. Sunday is today, women. There's a special female segment. We notice we've got a female voice on here on TRN now on some of the announcements. Well, here's a special edition for you ladies, especially single ladies who are listening. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back for the final segment after this break.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904. 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
And we welcome you back to the final segment of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this 12th day of October 2005. Just reminded also about the, just to mention to you folks, that tyrannyresponse.com is well worth checking out. And one of the things that we have at tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net is the related media tab. If you scroll down the related media tab, you'll find there the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition that you can sign in 30 seconds. Click on that link and sign it. You'll be glad you did. It's a little help that you can do in promotion of liberty in the world. take about 30 seconds of your time. Hope you can get over there to the Related Media tab and sign that South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition today. Someone sent me up this photograph, so I've just been musing over them during the break, called The Box of Truth. I think this is a TRN producer that sent this up. It's a pine box which has that you slide in pieces of 5/8-inch drywall. It looks like there are 12 sheets that go in, and you just test your bullets, see how good the penetration is. It's very interesting to look at because you can see how through each sheet what the bullet's actually doing. By the time it gets to the 12th sheet, it's tumbling because the bullet goes through sideways, and you can see the silhouette basically of the shell going through. Of course, that's usually by sheet 6, not by sheet 12. It's already tumbling. And it's sort of interesting to see how the bullets get deformed when they come out and so forth. This box of if you can still get a copy, you know, get a piece of it. This box of truth thing is a great way to make making more cognizant about what happens when you shoot a bullet and you know how much your penetration is going to be through walls. It goes through quite a few pieces of sheetrock. It says here sheetrock drywall doesn't slow any round down much. If you shoot in the house, walls will not stop any serious round. 12 pine boards will not stop a 223 round. That's another lesson they've learned. So yeah, if you shoot somebody in your neighborhood, remember you're going to penetrate. If you know, depending on where it is, you shoot towards a neighbor, it may penetrate that wall. Now, of course, around here, many places have brick, so I imagine it doesn't go through the brick. That'd be a little much to penetrate a bunch of brick walls. Maybe some would go through, you know, one brick wall or something or two, but I can't imagine it penetrating much more than that. Interesting stuff. If you shoot firearms, that's of greater interest than if you don't. If you don't shoot firearms, then you need to learn. What else can you say? I mean, ultimately, this is going to come down to, in my mind, some sort of armed revolt in the same way that it came down to that at Lexington and Concord. It's sad to say, but that people do not give up political power by the political process. You know, the Tony Beam vision or the neocon vision in the local area that we can just elect George Bush and he'll do well for us. He'll get us on the right track. It's just a myth, folks. It just gets worse all the time. It doesn't matter if there's a Republican or a Democrat in the House. It goes downhill fast, and that's why we need to continue to apply our Second Amendment rights. And if you don't know how to shoot, you need to learn, because it may come down to that someday, and maybe sooner than you think. Home Depot put in a tight spot by day laborers. Immigrants who gather at the store seeking work find controversy. Austin, the Home Depot is facing a knotty problem figuring out where to put the one important part of the Home Depot home improvement business, the dozens of day laborers who gather outside its stores here and across the nation. Morning after morning, in city after city, contractors as well as homeowners needing an extra hand or two drive up to a Home Depot and hire laborers to paint walls, nail down a roofing, or trim branches, usually from $8 to $10 per hour. Not only does this cause friction between the stores and neighboring businesses and homeowners who do not want the men around, but also has thrust the company into a nationwide debate about what to do over these workers. The majority of them are illegal immigrants from Mexico and Central America. Apparently, there's plenty of jobs available for them to do. So this is an interesting dilemma. What do you do with all these folks that are hanging around? He continues on a little later. He says, upsets the neighbors. In Austin, an immigrants' rights group is pressing Home Depot to stop threatening day laborers with fine and arrest and allow a grassy lot behind one store to be used as a place for them to congregate. But the company is not eager to see its parking lots filled with day laborers. The existence of this issue is beyond Home Depot's control, said David Sander, a spokesman for the company, which has about 1,700 stores nationwide. An Austin police lieutenant with moonlights at a Home Depot security guard said they whistle at 12 or 13-year-old girls on the way to school. They urinate in the back of the store. They throw trash on the sidewalk. Maybe it's just a few of the guys who do it, but it upsets a lot of the neighbors. It's probably true. It's probably not most of them to do it, but some of them probably do. And whistling at 12 to 13-year-old girls, I suppose that there are a few Americans that do that, too. So I'd be a little bit cautious here when we start putting down people for their various sins, because it's pretty easy to point out other people's sins and ignore that we ourselves are made of the same stuff. Anyway, continuing on, limited opportunities. Steve Felgate, manager of the ABC Supply roofing store across the street, said he has lost customers because of the men. They don't like to see these guys running up to them, and when they drive up to my store, Felgate said. Edwin Magua, a 27-year-old immigrant from Nicaragua who stands outside the Home Depot 6 days a week, said all he wanted was to work. They're violating our rights and kicking us away, he said. In the United States, there aren't any other opportunities for us but to be a day laborer, which may well be true. Well, this is the free market for labor, folks. This is what's going to happen when you have people who are hungry that don't make much money. They're going to come and do whatever they can to get a job, and if that's the place you have to meet to get a job, it's going to be what happens, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to follow suit. You can't blame them for what they're trying to do and feed their families. Doesn't mean they have any rights to trash places or to act in criminal in any way that's criminal. And of course, other people here who are citizens don't have such a right to do so either. But it is an interesting dilemma, and it is caused by a shortage of laborers. There are plenty of people who have jobs in America, and then they're not willing to do, for the price especially, but probably not willing to do the kind of work that that the Mexicans are doing here. Now, or Nicaraguans or whoever else. Now, I know this is a very debatable subject, and if you talk to certain people, they'll say, well, my job's been, you know, I've lost my job in contracting because of a bunch of Mexicans. And when you ask what they're doing then, well, I'm doing something else now, or doing something, I've changed my way of doing business. That's not necessarily a bad thing. It may be painful, and I know folks who are in the contracting business, but it may not be painful that we move people out of doing buggy whips into more sophisticated jobs and making automobiles, and that may be all that's happening here. Now, there may be other sides to this, and there certainly is something to be said for letting immigrants come across only after they and work here only after they have some state-sponsored approval, but I'm not so sure what level the state of involvement should be. My guess is not too much, and I've written on this to some extent. If you want to stop immigration problems, you need to stop going to the source of the, or to the branches here, the natural outcropping of poor people trying to get jobs. You need to go to the employers and change their preferences so they are unwilling to hire the cheaper labor. That's what it comes down to. Though the reason the Mexicans or whoever else come here to work is because people want them to work here. They like having them work here, and you would have to change the preferences of those people in order to stop offering them the money. Well, here's our final story for the day from Covenant News. Catholics say the Holy Bible lies. Blasphemy. The hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church has published a teaching document instructing Catholics that some parts of the Bible are not actually true. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to stop here and interject. This is from Covenant News, by the way. This is true on its face. It has to be. I mean, when the scripture records what Satan says in the Garden of Eden, or some of the things that Satan says elsewhere, it's recording a lie, so it's not true. Some of the things the Bible says are actually not true. So we have to agree with that much, don't we? It's still inspired. It's still the Word of God. It's teaching us something, but we don't trust Satan's words. But anyway, let me go on here. The Catholic bishops of England, Wales, and Scotland are warning their 5 million worshippers, as well as others drawn to the study of the Scripture, that they should not expect total accuracy from the Bible. They say the church must offer the gospel in ways appropriate to changing times, intelligible and attractive to our contemporaries. The Bible is true in passages relating to human salvation, they say, but continue, we should not expect total accuracy from the Bible in other secular matters. Well, this is where they are wrong. The Catholic Church is totally blasphemous in this respect. And the scripture they quote at the bottom is right. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools who changed the truth of God into a lie. Romans 1:18-23 is what they cite. Any time the Bible speaks on any particular subject, it is inerrant and infallible. That's what we believe as Christians. There's no question in our minds that the Bible talks about a scientific topic. To the extent that it does talk about it, it's speaking the truth. It is the Word of God, infallible, inerrant, and so forth. That's the Christian worldview. It doesn't mean the Bible is a textbook of science, or that all the truth about physics or chemistry or biology or wherever else is contained in the Scriptures. It certainly is not. The vast majority of those, what we know about those things, is left for man to uncover in God's created order through scientific endeavor. But that's not to take anything away from what the Bible has to say. There is something there that is the truth about every one of those disciplines in which it talks about. That's a great way to end the Christian Worldview show today. We're thankful and glad that you've joined us, and we look forward to another exciting show tomorrow. So be back here at the same place tomorrow. And until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.